All right, welcome everyone to another deep dive into the world of FIBA 3x3 basketball rankings.
Okay.
You know, that super fast-paced, high-energy version of basketball that's exploding in popularity.
Yeah.
We are going to untangle how players climb to the top. You send over this document outlining FIBA's official ranking system.
Right.
And honestly, it is a bit of a head-scratcher.
It is. It is.
The first class.
It's deceptively complex, but there's a real elegance to it once you understand the logic behind it.
Okay, so big picture. There are three types of rankings: individual, team, and federation. And we're going to tackle all of them today.
Okay.
But right off the bat, something that caught my eye is this win-before-limit bonus.
Oh, yeah.
You actually get points based on how much time you have left on the clock when you win.
That's right. Every second counts in 3x3, even more so than in traditional basketball. Winning quickly isn't just about showing dominance. It's actually baked into the ranking system.
So it's like a built-in incentive for aggressive play and smart time management.
Right.
I bet that leads to some really intense.
Absolutely.
But let's break it down step by step, starting with the individual rankings.
Okay.
What are the core components here?
Essentially, your individual ranking is a snapshot of your performance over the past 12 months based on points earned in FIBA 3x3 events. But there's a twist.
Uh-oh.
Only your best 9 results count.
Ah, so you could have an off day or two, but you have got to be consistently bringing your A game.
Exactly.
If you want to climb the ranks.
And the points themselves come from 5 main factors.
Okay.
We've got final standings in tournaments. Obviously, the higher you place, the more points you earn.
Makes sense, though I'm guessing not all tournaments are created equal, right?
You're shark. The document actually lays out this whole hierarchy of event levels from white to black. Black events are like the Champions League of 3x3.
Wow.
So placing well there gives you a major points boost.
Okay, so strategic tournament selection probably comes into play.
Yeah.
A savvy player could really maximize their points by targeting the right events. Then, of course, there's the win before limit bonus we talked about, which adds another layer of strategy during games.
Okay.
Then there's individual scoring. I imagine buckets still matter, but it's not just about being a one-man scoring machine.
It's your best 5 scoring games that are factored in. Again, emphasizing consistency. You can have one stellar game with a ton of points, but that won't single-handedly carry you.
Makes sense. It's about proving you can deliver consistently, not just having one lucky streak.
Right.
So what else goes into the individual ranking?
Well, this is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
They actually reward style and flair. Individual stats like dunks, key assist blocks, even buzzer beaters.
Wait, hold on. So you're telling me throwing down a monster dunk actually translates into a higher ranking.
Especially in those top-tier pro events, like the World Tour and Challengers. FIGA wants to see exciting basketball, and they're willing to reward players who deliver those highlight reel moments.
I love that. It's not just about grinding out wins. It's about playing with style and energy. So we've got scoring, we've got highlights. What about shooting efficiency? Does that play a role?
It does. They have something called individual shooting value, which factors in your shooting percentage. So you can't just chuck up shots hoping something lands. You need to be accurate and efficient to maximize your ranking.
Makes sense. Rewards smart play, not just volume.
Exactly.
Now, I noticed the document mentioned event level downgrades.
Yeah.
And something about player value average. What's that all about?
That's where things get a bit more technical. Basically, there are certain situations where the event level,
okay,
and therefore the points you can earn gets adjusted downwards.
Like if you're a much younger player competing in an older age category,
exactly,
you don't want to unfairly penalize them. Is that the kind of thing we're talking about?
That's exactly right. It can also happen in women's categories if there are fewer teams participating. Or even based on player performance. If someone consistently has a low player value average, essentially a measure of their overall impact on the court, their event level can be downgraded as well.
So even within a single tournament, the playing field is constantly being leveled to make sure the rankings stay accurate and fair.
Precisely. And FIMA actually monitors all of this very carefully to prevent any sort of artificial inflation or manipulation of the rankings. They're very serious about maintaining the integrity of the system.
That's good to hear. Okay, so we've got a good handle on individual rankings, a complex but clever system that rewards well-rounded, consistent players. Speaking of teamwork, I'm curious how all of this translates to team rankings. Is it just a matter of adding up individual scores, or is there more to it?
It's more intricate than just a simple addition.
Okay.
For men's teams, they actually use two different calculations and then take the higher value between them. One way looks at the individual ranking points of the three highest ranked players on the team.
So in that sense, having a few star players could really boost your team's overall ranking.
But the other calculation focuses on the team as a whole, looking at their performance across their best seven pro events from the last 12 months.
Interesting. So it's not just about having a couple of superstars carrying the team. You need a solid roster with depth if you want to stay competitive in the rankings.
That's exactly what it incentivizes.
I like that.
Consistent, strong performance from the entire team. Now, the women's team ranking is a bit more straightforward. It's based purely on the individual ranking points of the top three players in the team's extended roster.
Extended roster? What's that all about?
It's basically the official roster for the entire season, which can include anywhere from 3 to 6 players. It gives teams a bit of flexibility while still making sure the rankings are based on their core players.
So whether you're looking at men's or women's teams, having strong individual players is clearly a key factor in the overall team ranking. But I'm curious, what are the real-world implications of these team rankings? What do they actually determine?
Well, for one thing, they determine qualification and seeding for the major events like the World Tour and Challengers.
So a higher team ranking is a better chance of competing against the top teams in the world. The stakes are high. And for women's teams, their performance in the women's series directly feeds into their ranking.
Right.
Teams coming from the Nations League start with 0 points until they've proven themselves on that stage.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to earn your way up the rankings. No shortcuts. Now I want to shift gears a bit and talk about federation rankings.
Okay.
It goes beyond individual players and even teams, right?
Exactly.
It's about national pride.
The federation ranking is all about the overall strength of a nation's 3x3 basketball program, and it's calculated by adding up the points of the top 20 players from that country in each category.
So we're talking men's, women's, and even specific age groups. It's a real measure of a country's depth of talent in the sport.
And to avoid ties, they even have a tiebreaker system based on the highest ranked player from each federation.
That's cool.
So every individual performance can potentially impact their country's overall ranking.
That's a cool detail. It really highlights the interconnectedness of the entire system. You mentioned that U13 players are excluded from these federation calculations, though. Why is that?
That's a great question. It might be to help protect younger players from the pressure of being ranked on a global stage, allowing them to develop at their own pace. But I'd have to dig a little deeper to be sure.
It does make sense. You want to encourage a healthy development pathway for young athletes. Okay, so we've now explored all three levels of the FIBA 3x3 rankings, individual, team, and federation. What stands out to you as the most interesting aspect of this system?
What fascinates me is how the system balances individual brilliance with the importance of teamwork and national development. It creates this really dynamic ecosystem where players, teams, and even entire countries are pushing each other to get better.
It's a fascinating look at how a sport can evolve and adapt. Now, while we've broken down the mechanics of these rankings, I'm curious about the bigger picture. What are the long-term implications of this system on the sport as a whole?
It really makes you think, huh?
It does. It really does feel like a system designed for the future of basketball. And you've got me thinking about the ripple effects. How might this ranking system influence things like coaching strategies and players' development?
That's one of the most intriguing aspects of this whole system. Think about it with that win before limit bonus. You can bet coaches are going to emphasize speed and efficiency in training, maybe even more so than in traditional basketball.
So we might see a shift in focus from just outscoring your opponent to outmaneuvering them, making every second count.
Exactly. And those bonus points for individual stats like dunks and drives, that could lead to more specialized training programs focused on developing those specific skills.
It's not just about being a well-rounded player. It's about having a unique skill set that can give you an edge in the rankings. And on a larger scale, I imagine this system puts a lot of pressure on countries to develop robust 3x3 programs.
Absolutely. The federation rankings create this interesting dynamic where nations are competing, not just on the court, but also in terms of their infrastructure and support for 3x3 basketball.
So it could influence everything from national team selection to funding decisions. It's bigger than just individual players or even teams, it's about shaping the future of the sport on a global level.
It really is, and it makes you wonder how this might all translate to other sports. Could we see similar ranking systems adopted for sports that want to emphasize a faster, more dynamic style of play? It's an interesting thought.
It is. Now, before we wrap things up, I want to go back to something we touched on earlier. The player value average is clearly an important part of the rankings. But to be honest, it's still a bit fuzzy for me. Could you break it down a bit more?
Sure.
Maybe using an analogy or example.
Imagine you're putting together a fantasy basketball team, but instead of just points scored, you're also factoring in assists, rebounds, steals, and even those flashy plays like dunks.
Okay.
The player value average is like a single number that encapsulates all of that, giving you a quick snapshot of a player's overall impact on the game.
Ah, okay, that makes sense. It's not just about being a one-dimensional scorer. It's about contributing in multiple ways.
Exactly.
And a higher player value average means you're generally considered a more valuable asset to your team, which then translates to a higher individual ranking.
Precisely. And remember, a consistently low player value average can even lead to those event-level downgrades we talked about. So players need to be firing on all cylinders if they want to stay competitive in the rankings.
So much to think about. I feel like we've barely scratched the surface of the FIBA 3x3 ranking system. What's one key takeaway you hope our listener walks away with today?
I think the biggest takeaway is that this system is incredibly dynamic and forward-thinking. It's not just about rewarding wins. It's about encouraging a style of play that's fast, exciting, and constantly evolving. It's a glimpse into the future of basketball.
Well said. And for anyone out there who wants to see this all in action, I highly recommend checking out some live 3x3 games, either online or in person. The energy is infectious. And you'll see firsthand how these rankings play out on the court.
It's truly a unique and captivating spectator experience.
So as we wrap up our deep dive, here's a final thought for our listener to ponder. How might this ranking system evolve in the coming years? As 3x3 basketball continues to grow in popularity, will we see new factors added to the calculations? Will it influence the development of new training techniques and strategies? Only time will tell, but one thing's for sure. The future of basketball is fast, exciting, and full of possibilities. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time.
A lot of questions to consider there.
There really are. And, you know, this combined federation ranking, where they use a geometric mean of the men's and women's ranking points, I think that's a really interesting way to make sure both genders are represented fairly.
It ensures a balanced perspective and prevents one side from completely dominating the overall ranking.
It's a holistic view of a nation's 3x3 basketball prowess.
Exactly.
All right, so we've covered a ton of ground today, from individual rankings to team dynamics to the global stage of federation rankings. What's the biggest takeaway you hope our listeners walk away with?
I think the key here is that the FIBA 3x3 ranking system is so much more than just a simple ladder. It's a reflection of the evolution of basketball itself, a shift towards a faster, more dynamic, and globally inclusive game.
And it rewards not just skill, but strategy and a certain kind of panache.
Absolutely. It's a system designed to excite fans and push the boundaries of the sport.
Well said. I think that's a perfect note to end on. So to everyone listening, if you haven't experienced the thrill of FIBA 3x3 basketball yet, I highly recommend checking it out. It's a whole new ball game.
It really is.
Until next time, keep exploring and keep balling.